It's bad. Anime.
Hey everybody, I'm John.
And I'm Rob.
And this is Bad Anime, the podcast where we decide,
is this anime bad?
Lesbian dragons.
That's essentially it. We can end the episode there,
we'll
honestly.
See you next week.
Goodbye. Cue song there.
Yeah.
No, we're not going to do that to you. We have plenty more to say. I think, because funny for me, I watched this probably 2 years ago.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's been 2 years.
Yeah,
yes.
Mm-hmm. Because in the summer of 2021, season two is coming out. So I'm like, oh, I should go watch season one, then watch season two. I got nothing better to do. Because that was a miserable summer for me work-wise. Mm-hmm. So I'd wake up in manual labor in a blistering hot summer.
Oh, God.
Waking up in pain going, I can't move and I can't think. But I wanted to get away from short-form content.
Mm-hmm.
So I moved to more anime. I don't know if this has any more redeeming value than a few reels, you know what I mean?
Yes.
I was less tired by the end of it, but there was certainly some brain drain happening.
Oh, certainly. Certainly some brain drain, but also moments of happiness, I think.
Oh, yeah. No,
also slight moments of joy.
Oh, yeah. No. I don't want to discredit the show because it is a bag of a lot of emotions. This is the first season of Mr. Kobayashi's Dragon Maid.
Yes. In case we didn't mention up top.
I don't think we did.
No, we did not.
We just said lesbian dragons and everyone knew what we meant.
You're right.
Because
I hope you did.
Because this is about our titular character, Miss Kobayashi. They literally just made a wiener guy but took away the wiener.
Yes. Yes.
So she's a wiener gal.
Exactly. But the thing that I appreciate
you look,
the most.
You like got closer to the mic.
I feel like that was like a philosophic point and I agree.
Okay.
I agree so hard and I didn't even think about it till right now.
Yeah.
Because the entire thing I was thinking about this show from the first episode on is, wow, this Kobayashi character is really mundane.
Yes.
And that kind of makes the show for me.
Yeah.
I love that she's mundane.
Yeah.
She's just a normal person that just met a dragon, gave them some alcohol, and the dragon was like, thanks for helping me.
I'm now madly in love with you. But we took away your wiener because otherwise the male audience would empathize.
Yes.
That's cynical, but I think that's kind of the point.
No, it's true.
Yeah.
It's true. It's very much like a harem-esque anime.
It's a harem show entirely, but without the harem.
Yes.
Because We get no indication that Kobayashi has any sex drive whatsoever.
Yeah, not
gay, straight, or otherwise.
She might as well be asexual, honestly.
That's kind of what we're getting at this point.
Yes.
So that's fascinating in and of itself.
Yes.
But yeah, she basically takes care of a dragon, but the dragon knows that she's really into that Kobayashi's really into maids, so she transforms herself into a maid girl,
which is a very fascinating thing to just be into.
Well,
like, hey, I'm just into maids.
Otaku.
Not like sexually.
Yes.
But like, just, you know, it's like, I think it's a very interesting profession.
Yes. Yeah, like, she's like, huh. She got herself a maid costume at one point. Her entire family said, you look ridiculous and dumb. Stop being such a dork, Kobayashi. You're going to bed. I'm 20. Go to bed.
Go to bed.
But yeah, so we have this weird dynamic. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. It's not a sexual inclination. She just really digs maids and everything about them.
Likes the lore.
Yeah, likes the lore. And
maid lore.
Yes. And they dive into it quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Which was in the thing of the first episode where we meet.
You know, it's funny because most things are made in China, but this is made in Japan.
I'm trying to think. There's a few different live albums by American bands with that title.
Made in Japan?
Or, yeah,
I hope it was M-A-I-D, made in Japan.
If Band Made didn't do that out live album, I'd be
oh,
so mad.
They have to.
If they didn't already.
Oh,
they might have. They might have done that already.
I actually got contacted by their publicist once. I should email them. Yeah.
Oh, please do.
I should be like, hey, guys, you got to use this title. Don't even credit me. Just here you go.
Oh, Band Made is fantastic.
Enjoy. I love Band Made. They're great.
If they dropped the maid gimmick, a lot of people would take them more seriously. I was having this conversation yesterday because they came out on my car. And my girlfriend was like, who are they? I'm like, oh, Ben, that never gets taken seriously. She's like, oh, why? I'm like, look at the title. She's like, what, are they all dressed like maids? I'm like, yep.
Yep. But if they take away the maid costumes, all of the otakus wouldn't.
It would also alienate a huge section of their audience, absolutely.
Yes.
But it's very weird. So
guys like us.
Sort of, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing here, because as someone who's so into metal, particularly Japanese metal, in the more melodic leanings of so forth, it's hard for me to show people band made. So I never show videos. I only show the audio.
Yep.
Because, like, you know,
audio hooks them.
Exactly. Because it's actually a little more punky.
Yeah.
So it's got like a lot of punk elements tied into some of the riffs are straight up metal, but it's like a nice little punk metal hybrid with like a two very competent female singers. So it's very fun. It's a very fun listen. But once you see the maid costumes, it turns people's ability to listen off, and right. all their objectivism goes out the window.
Right.
So, speaking of listening and being staying and focusing, we should probably talk more about this fucking maid show.
Yes, Miss Kobayashi's Dragon Maid Season 1, but also...
Oh, so her name's Toru, by the way, Toru, the dragon.
Yes, the dragon. I was going to clarify that, too.
We didn't mention her name yet. Yeah. Maybe highlight of the show.
But yeah, Toru is a great character. Yeah.
I may have watched the show twice. I don't remember entirely because I switched over to the dub after I watched the whole thing raw. Well, not raw, but like with subtitles.
Raw.
Raw is a term without subtitles. Yeah.
Can we invent the term of like, I just watched it raw, as in like I was naked the whole time?
I can't guarantee my clothes were on the entire time.
I mean, they probably weren't.
It was a really bad
summer. I would imagine really, at least like half naked.
Really bad summer.
Really warm.
Yeah, it was hot.
Everywhere, even in my room.
Yeah.
I sweated so much and I just glistened the whole time as I reached down to my belt buckle to unfasten my pantaloons. And
are you wearing jeans in bed?
What were we talking about?
Are you wearing jeans in bed? No, we're staying on this point.
You don't wear jeans in bed?
Well, are you sleeping? Are you under the covers? What are we talking about here?
I mean, I'm first of all, I never get under the covers unless I'm sleeping. That's a rule for me.
Interesting.
Never get under the covers unless you're sleeping.
What if you're freezing?
You get a blanket.
Okay.
Never get under the covers of the bed.
Interesting.
I try not to lay down in bed before I have to go to bed, you know?
Oh, yeah, I've seen this. I've seen the psychological study.
I get up and I just lay down on the couch instead. So it's different. It's different. It changes my brain a little bit so that at night when I go to bed, I'm like, oh, this is new. And I lay down and immediately fall asleep.
Yeah, yeah, okay. I got you. You know, that's a big psychological study.
It's nice.
Yeah. As someone who's dealt with sickness on and off of their life, I've had days where I'm just bedridden. So I'm just like, but it's funny now, I kind of have two modes. So if I tell myself to sleep, I'm falling asleep.
Yeah.
But I can lounge in bed with. Out it disrupting that brain pattern that also requires like years of training.
Oh wow,
to get through.
Damn.
Basically having that mental capacity to be like, all right, I'm in bed, but it's not bedtime. Basically the lights off is the biggest thing for me.
Oh yeah,
because I can get under the covers with the lights on and not feel anything.
Yep. But when the lights go off, you're like, oh wow, sleepy time.
And then I'm like, under the covers, lights off. Wake me up in 3 days.
Where were we?
Lesbian dragons.
Right.
So yeah, we got Toru here. Who, her Japanese actress, voice actress was great. Her dub actress was the same one as the English dub of Power and Chainsaw Man.
I noticed.
Yeah.
Yes.
I loved some of her deliveries.
It was very good.
In the first episode in particular, when Kobayashi, Toru, and were meeting up with Kobayashi's work friend for drinks. I forgot the fellow's name. He's a recurring character.
Yes, he is. I really like him. And
I do too.
My favorite point about him is that whenever he's drunk, he just turns into a rat face.
Yes, he puts on the glasses and he goes full nerd mode.
Yes, and he has the little rat teeth.
Yes,
it's
I love
so funny.
Well, yeah, because like they're visualizing his different personas, which I love.
It's
great. I love it. It's Dr. Jekyll Hyde thing, but not nearly as cool.
Yeah.
One of the great lines from Toru here, especially in the dub, it's like, hi, I'm Miss Kobayashi's live-in maid. Her very violent live-in maid.
Her very violent live-in maid.
She accentuated that perfectly with the animation.
Oh,
so,
my God.
So the English voice cast did a great job here.
Yes.
There's actually some controversy with the English dub, unfortunately.
Oh, really?
Well, because of the
What's
character
the reason?
Lukua, the Aztec dragon with the big tatas.
Oh, yes. Okay, the one with the weird eye?
Yes, the one with the weird eye.
And she wears
a
hat?
Yeah, and she's trying to hump the little boy.
Yes, try to hump. Shout a baby.
Shout a baby. I love her directions, but they added some lines about like the male patriarchy in there to make her character like,
oh,
which unfortunately changes the whole dynamic of the character. Because that wasn't the original character at all.
Interesting.
She was a blonde bumbling idiot in the original who like, you know, will like kind of a pedo-y. She would get drunk and then apparently make out with her sister. Like, so like that was all in their show. And the dub tried to make her a little
amazing.
They tried to redeem her a little bit. It caused quite a controversy. People at conventions would go up to voice like the people who adapted these scripts could be like, why are you changing it?
Wow.
Yeah. Even like apparently I was talking to one of my roommates about this. Apparently some even Japanese cats are going to the conventions like, why are you changing our art? What gives you the right to change
that's
our shit?
Wow. Oh my God. That's intense.
Well, that's the thing. Cause like, unfortunately, because like they try to change. Because that's not a line adaptation. That's them trying to change some element of the character to make it redeemable.
To make it a different character,
to make
right.
In their eyes, redeemable.
Yes, sure.
Because otherwise...
Sure. Good for American audiences.
Yeah,
right.
Otherwise it's just someone who's basically a character whose sole purpose is to be objectified.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of characteristics that are not redeemable to an American audience.
Sure.
So I don't want to say it's censorship, but it's like, you know, completely trying to reshape shit like that. I don't think that's cool.
It's funny though, because they tried to change certain things, but both countries were still totally fine about her touching little boys.
Weird, right?
Which is so weird. You would think that would be the problem.
Yeah, apparently that's
that
fine.
Was just fine.
That was fine.
That's not the problem.
Which is
here.
So weird, because if there was an anime with a male character trying to do it to a young girl, it would never get brought over here.
No way. No
but
way.
But for some reason, America's cool with, like, oh, she wants to diddle that boy. That's fine.
That's better. Like, oh my God.
So that's the weirdest part.
Because when you mentioned there was controversy, I was like, oh, well, I wonder what that's about. But
and then it just
wasn't that. Yeah, yeah. And I was like, how is it not that?
Yeah, no, the thing is, that's fine. And the fact that you have, like, the Kana in there too, who is,
Yeah, Kana, who, as I texted you, who is that Japanese archetype of, let's put in a character that's clearly an underage girl, but is 1 million years old and is a dragon.
Yeah, so that way it's okay if you have thoughts. Kind of sick when you think about it.
God.
But they try to give the innocent spin because she has the classmate who's into her.
Yes, which is really, it was cute.
Yeah, who has, like, the lesbian panic whenever they touch.
Yes, it was really funny, actually. She has just the big forehead.
Yeah, huge forehead.
Huge
that came up a lot.
Forehead, which is so funny.
And that girl's sister, the one who's into Kana, I forgot her name. Mm-hmm. Saikawa.
Saikawa, yes.
I remembered that.
I can't believe you remembered that. I only watched this a month ago. You watched it 2 years ago.
Again, when you watched it, also, I may have watched season two. Anyway.
Anywho.
So, yeah, she has a sister who's the maid. She's also very into maids. So, her and Toru and Kobayashi would
yes,
have
that's
maid,
right.
maid talks.
Which is, once again, just fascinating. Never thought there were so many people into the idea of maids.
So, we have that. Early, because I remember the early episodes very well.
Mm-hmm.
I love in the second episode when Toru and Kana have, like, the scene where it's like, all right, we're just gonna play for a little bit, roughhouse a little bit. Then they have this, like, really well animated fight scene, yeah. Like, very good. So, like, yes. they knew where the comedy was. The comedy came from, like, in this dumb slice of life fantasy show. There's this really intense, really cool action scene.
And that's the good part about this show, is that they consistently do that.
They do. They get the humor on point.
Yes, the humor is great. Because you have, like, you know, you have, for example, like, Kobayashi in The
yeah.
Office.
Yes.
Like, just typing away, and she's getting, like, slammed with work, and her life is just very mundane. Yeah. But then you also have Toru observing her as an invisible dragon behind her the entire time. And it's like, well then.
You have Kana being the child going, what is this? There are traffic lights. Oh. You have that happening. And then eventually you get like I said, you get Lukawa, the Aztec dragon, who's just
yes.
like there.
Yes, Quetzalcoatl.
Yep.
Yes.
And then you get the long-haired dude.
Fafnir. My favorite character. God, who just hated everything until he got introduced to video games.
And he became all buddy-buddy with, what's his name?
Yeah, with that guy. Yeah. Yes. And he just let him live at his house.
And they just became bros playing video games all the time.
Takia-san.
Takia, yep. Takia. So Takia and Fafnir becoming bros.
Which was so funny. And he was just, I remember Toru or somebody, or maybe it was Kobayashi, asked Takia, they were like, hey, do you mind if, like, Fafnir crashes with you? And he was like, yeah, whatever.
He's like, whatever.
He can come stay at my place. And then,
bro,
Fafnir, while this guy is just sleeping, doing anything in his life, Fafnir's like, I'm on level 100.
I'm on level 100.
What? He's just playing Diablo or Baldur's Gate or whatever the equivalent in their world is.
And if you look at, like, the chat in the comment section, all the guys are like, yo, Fafnir, the legend, he never sleeps.
Dude never sleeps. Just games all the time.
Yep.
Fucking hilarious. He was great. Loved him.
He is a certain population's masculine ideal.
Yes. Yes. And I also love, like, how it was really funny to me how all of, like, the regular characters just have the most normal human names ever. And they just chose the most ridiculous, like, legendary
names good for the males.
Like, mythological names for like all of the all of the dragon characters.
Right, exactly.
Hilarious. Like, the juxtaposition of everybody going like, oh, it's our birthday party, let's invite Fafnir.
And what was her name? She's one of my favorite characters, the blue-haired one who showed up late.
Elma. Yes, she had the horn.
Yeah, the horn.
Yes.
I love when Elma showed up at one point to like arrest Toru for something, and then she's just like super hungry, collapses, and then Kobayashi's like, wait, Kana, grab the cream bread. So they give her cream bread, and Elma's like, and they're like, hey, Elma, if, like, you leave right now, you can have all that bread. So Elma sings, "Sorry for the intrusion," while leaving away with a huge loaf of bread with cream in it. I'm like, ew. And like, I remember, oh yeah, Japan doesn't know how to do bread.
I actually love cream bread.
Do you?
I love cream bread. It's delicious. God, I make my own sometimes, if you know what I mean, sailor. No, but really, I love cream bread.
But I that's disgusting. Leave my house.
Leave my home.
Have you seen the Pornhub Top 20 recently?
My favorite category, cream bread.
Is that what they're calling it now?
They must be in Japan.
Cream bread. Take two $20 bills. Put them in your nether regions. Keep going.
Keep going. But yeah,
this is what happens when we don't have alcohol before episodes. We get a little too unhinged.
We actually get creative.
Yeah, we have our wits about us. Oh no.
Oh god.
Creativity. Yes. That was actually one of the highlights of the show.
It was. Yes, it was very great segue. It was very creative.
I'm trying to remember. So season one and two are blurring in my head. Was this a season where Kana and Saikawa were getting bullied at like a park, and so they challenged them to a dodgeball game,
and they just
break the dragons, and they literally almost murder these children.
Yes, but that was amazing.
Like Fafnir was also like, "I will destroy them.
I will kill
them." And he does,
and he does really bad.
Lukawa just like has her ball and just fucking destroys them all. I love that scene. I thought that was a brilliant way to
Yeah, that was great. That was a great. It was a great instance of them bringing the supernatural to the natural world.
Well,
in a way that did not, blow it up.
A lot of the most funny jokes in Modern Family Guy is when the writers remember that Stewie's a baby and Brian's a dog.
Yes.
It's the same thing here where they utilize that unique element about these characters where they remember, oh yeah, you guys are all dragons.
From another dimension.
Let's have fun with the fact that you're dragons.
Yes. And nobody knows that you are.
Yeah. And so they just did that.
Yeah. It's great. And as you were saying before, Elma's character was really fun because at the end of the show, she just got devolved to she's just hungry.
Yes.
And so everybody just had a good role to play, I thought.
And I love how they did it. They gave with the slice of life shows, what they usually do is they do a lot of just fucking around character fun moments, and then they'll throw a mini arc towards the end in there.
Yeah.
The one they had here was the school festival type thing. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. Kobayashi wasn't sure if she can make it at first. And then they're like, it'd really mean a lot to Kana if you did.
Yep.
So she made it, and Kana was so happy. So mm-hmm. we see Kana, Saikawa, and Shota in the festival.
They also went to a bathhouse one episode, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, they did.
They checked all the season one boxes.
They had to.
They had the bathhouse/beach episode.
Yep.
They had the school festival.
Oh, the beach episode. Was that the one where Kana was looking and saw the crab walking around, then she just ate it?
Yep. That was hilarious. That popped me so hard.
That was a great one. It was also was this also the same season where they had the summer homework? Because Kana's was really, this might be season two to spoil, but they gave all the kids little elementary school kids
summer
right?
project yeah
to do, and one of them was bug collecting. So you see Kana with a net trying about to catch a bug, then just eats it.
And I think that did happen this season.
She's writing down the attitudes about the bugs, but it's actually how they taste
instead of how they look.
Yeah, exactly.
Hilarious.
Like crickets, crunchy.
It was great. It's
amazing.
Again, the humor like that. I don't know why. I just found it so funny when Kana would just demolish food. It was perfect. I thought, and in the final arc when Toru's dad comes back.
Oh, right.
And is like, Toru, you have to return to the dragon world. And Toru's like, no, and like, how about being fuck off, a maid.
Yeah. I like being this one random girl's maid.
What?
And that's the thing. Like the dragon dude is like,
you want to, what? What now?
Excuse me?
You're clean her house and shit? And
you're the all-powerful daughter of destruction, and you're... What? Now you're fucking around with Windex?
You want to be here?
Why are you doing this?
And they fight for a bit. They tussle. Yeah. But at the end, it would be love that prevails.
Yeah. And the dad's like, all right, I've been a jerk.
Yeah, sorry.
Go for it.
Bye. And then he leaves.
Have fun with your mate. Have fun living with this girl's maid, I guess. And Kobayashi's like, I still don't understand anything that's happening. But I clearly have much, much more of a relationship with Kana than I do Toru.
Do you remember that one episode that happened where it became a pattern that Toru is constantly trying to get Miss Kobayashi to A, either eat her tail, or B, eat aphrodisiacs so that she gets really horny?
Yes, I do remember the tail thing especially.
Funny.
At first it wasn't subtle at all, but then it got much more subtle. You'd see curry, but they're bits of her tail be in the curry, and it's like, Toru! And she's like, I'm sorry! I remember the first time it was just a hunk of her tail on a plate.
Yeah, just eat it.
It was so
like, I'm not eating your tail.
But I love the progression of that where she just like does it. She's getting smarter.
Gets sneaky with it.
She's getting smarter and smarter through that.
Yep.
And just trying to make her very horny. Again, like.
So funny.
But the thing is, I guess something about the lesbian aspect makes it a little more playful.
It does. It makes it less creepy.
Yeah.
Like, it would be a lot creepier if it was a dude.
Yeah. You know? Well, I think it's it also has to do with the tone of the show. Because the tone, like, you know, there's sexual elements, obviously. I mean, again, Lucas is just a sexual object.
I mean, yeah, for sure.
A lot of the comedy of her is her getting, like, carted off, being like, you're not wearing enough clothing. She's like, but why?
Yeah, and her just dipping Shota into her giant rack, never to be seen again.
Yeah, and he just gets lost in there, the poor
He's gone. Boy. He's gone. Poor kid.
Glory, glory, what a hell of a way to die.
But yeah, everybody has their place. Like, everybody has their moments.
Lost in the memory mountains. Oh, I, oh.
The memory mountains.
I just came up with that.
It's wonderful. You should brand that.
Memory mountains.
Memory mountain.
Oh, God. Okay. We need to get some t-shirts.
Yeah, we do. We do. But yeah, I mean, I think we've talked through pretty much everything about the first season.
Pretty much, yeah. We highlighted some of the points. Again, they were like, it's a slice of life. So for people who are not used to slice of life, there is typically not an overarching plot. It's day-to-day life.
Episodic.
But
yes.
There's dragons in it.
There is. There were dragons. And there wasn't, I think I noticed throughout us talking about it, there really wasn't any negativity throughout this entire chat, I thought.
Honestly, I was a little aggravated yesterday, so I thought I was going to have some negative things to say.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was telling you before we came in today, I'm like, yeah, I re-aggravated an old eye injury a couple days ago.
Mm-hmm.
So that's more so affected the next show we're going to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
But waking up today, the eye's feeling better. And, you know, when you're physically in pain and your thoughts get negative.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, fucking, I watched that show years ago. Probably stupid. I don't remember that shit. But now I'm talking about it again. I'm like, I just had fun.
Yeah,
it was a very fun time. I watched season two, so clearly I like this show.
Yeah, clearly.
Do I think it's bad? Absolutely not.
No.
It's a fun time. Again, there's going to be some weird cultural things here with, you know, the fetishization of the everything.
Yeah, the everything.
But, like, it's played for laughs more so than creepiness. You know what I mean?
It is. Yes, yes. It's not very, like...
It's not skeevy.
They're not serious about it, right?
Exactly. It's not skeevy. I hear the manga is more explicit and the manga is skeevier.
Interesting.
Yeah, so this one softened up a little bit, but I think it needed that.
I like that angle then.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's better. I think this show doesn't need...
There's enough perviness in the world.
It didn't really need, like, all of the sexuality that it got.
So, yeah.
So, I mean, I would have actually been fine if they toned it down quite a bit.
Yeah, exactly. So...
Because that's not really what the show's about.
It's a goofy, fun time.
More about like a slice of life, but there are dragons and there's a maid.
Yeah, if I saw some full-on frontal from, like, Lukoa or Toru, I might have been put off.
Yeah, I'd be like, that's not what I'm here for.
Yeah, like...
That's
like,
weird.
I'm like, Kata's in the room. She's a child.
A million-year-old child.
Yes.
So it's okay.
No! It's not okay. Stop doing this, Japan. Show's not bad. Had a good time.
Yeah, not bad. It's bad. That's right, everybody. The fun is over today. Thanks so much for clicking on the episode. But the fun does not have to stop here. You can hit us up anywhere that you can find us on Instagram or TikTok at Bad Anime Pod. Or you can even email us to get in touch with us directly at badanimepod@gmail.com. If you got any opinions or you just want to send some hate mail or love mail, we'll take both. We don't care. Thanks so much for listening, everybody, and have a great day.
Simple Equations Podcast Network.